Ruth is a foreigner and a stranger, and she winds up in Bethlehem. Like, everybody hates Moabites. And there she has to go into this place. She happens to know the language, though, because she's been married to a Hebrew for 10 years, although she never had any children, which makes her kind of an outcast in that culture until she marries Boaz. And then all of a sudden, the Lord opens her womb and voila, she has, she has Obed, and Obed has David. So the Lord is just orchestrating all of this timing. And I'm sure she was thinking, how did I wind up here? And haven't you felt that way in your life? Sometimes you look around and you're like, this is totally not the plan. When I was a teenager, this me winding up here, that wasn't part of the plan. And so this book really...
Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast episode. And today I'm so excited to bring to you Marlene Williams again. She is one of my dear author friends, and so excited because today she has a new book releasing. So welcome, Marlene.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, thank you so much, Marlene. We had exchanged emails before we hopped on here, and we were just talking about how much we enjoy chatting with each other. And that's so true. I always walk away so inspired after talking with Marlene. So hopefully you walk away inspired after listening to our episode today.
But
Marlene, I cannot wait. So let's talk about your book that came out today. Coming out July 1st here, Takes One to Know One. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, this is book 3 in the Jesus Revolution romance series. Book 1 was All Men Are Liars, which came out 2 Septembers ago. Book 2 is Love the One. Here's book 1, All Men Are Liars. And then book 2 was Love the One You're With. And the adventures continued from book 1 to 2, the same group of characters moving from the United States to London. And then book 3, we're taking everybody to Southern California in 1975. So I was telling Melissa this. This is my first book that it hasn't been published in September. I'm publishing it in July because, as you can see, this is this rally stripe here is because this is a print proof. I don't have any actual printed publishing yet because it's catching up. But anyway, you can kind of see that the gal on the cover is wearing cutoffs. We have a big California sunshine in the background and kind of like the sun rays or the beautiful Malibu sunset. So this is a book if you've ever wanted to have a Malibu beach house and live in the 1970s and have the glamour of Hollywood and try to navigate that as a Christian during the 70s, when it was all bets are off. It was rebellion, it was love, free love, it's running in the streets, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that was the mantra for the 70s in Hollywood. And to have characters that are struggling to hold on to their faith or reclaim their faith in the midst of one of the most worldly, arguably one of the most worldly environments ever, that was the challenge for me. And so I just fell in love with this book. It kind of intruded. I had another book in mind to be book 3. And this book just kind of like a dog at the table, it just kind of wiggled its way up and then just sat there saying, but you really should tell my story first. And I was like, well, didn't have that in mind. But Melissa, you and I are pantsers. So we know that when our characters jump up and start knocking on the door, it's almost impossible to turn them away. So this book One of the characters is Helene Hoyle, and she is the 1975 rising star in Hollywood. She is very similar in appearance to the famous Farrah Fawcett. She's got the big blonde flyaway hair. She is in miniseries. She's a model. She's done it all. And a blast from her past appears in California completely unexpectedly. She's set down a lot of rules and regulations about how she's going to conduct her life. You know how that's going to turn out. So the blast from her past shows up, and then she has got some choices to make. And they have the Clash of the Titans. And so what they used to call in 1950s movies, they called it the Battle of the Sexes. And so we have that kind of dynamic going on here. And she knows that this particular young man is a heartbreaker like her. And so she figures she can outfox him. Will she or won't she? This is all's fair in love and war, but which is this is the ultimate question here.
Very interesting. Very interesting plot for this one. I wanted to circle back real quick to what you said about, like, this wasn't, you weren't planning it, right? But your characters jump up and they're like, you got to write my story. Yeah. I call that writing with the Holy Spirit because, you know, because like you said, and I'll let you share some of the things that you've shared, like things just keep lining up. And like, this isn't even coming out when you thought it would.
Right.
You're bumping that up because you just felt like this is where it needs to go. But it's really God directing all of this. There's a reason, right?
It's providential. And we, in my Bible study group just last night, we were talking about the book of Ruth. And if there was ever a book where things don't happen the way that the people in the book want them to happen, Ruth is a foreigner and a stranger, and she winds up in Bethlehem. Like, everybody hates Moabites. And there she has to go into this place. She happens to know the language, though, because she's been married to a Hebrew for 10 years, although she never had any children, which makes her kind of an outcast in that culture, until she marries Boaz. And then all of a sudden, the Lord opens her womb, and voila, she has, you know, she has Obed, and Obed has David. So the Lord is just orchestrating all of this timing. And I'm sure she was thinking, how did I wind up here? And haven't you felt that way in your life? Sometimes you look around and you're like, this is totally not the plan. When I was a teenager, this me winding up here, that wasn't part of the plan. And so this book really, that's kind of the theme of this book, is like, what happened to my plan? This was not the way it should be. But the Lord is like, oh yes, it is the way it should be. I've got a flash for you. It's totally the way it should be. And I have blessings galore to pour into your life if you'll just rest and trust me and just let me lavish you with extravagant blessings. And that's what it feels like to me. So yeah, it was a shocker, but I do believe it was the Lord.
And you mentioned this, and I don't know if we've shared it with our listeners before, but you are what in the author world we call a pantser. Mm-hmm. So for those who are new to that term, that means we don't do a lot of plotting, do we, Marlene?
Or almost none, though, actually. And it's, you're writing by the seat of your pants, and that's why they call it pantsers, because you're just going with the flow. And I'm sure people have said this to you, Melissa, is that people say, well, how can you even start a book if you don't know how it's going to end? And I'm like, why would you even write a book if you know the end? So, I mean, it's coming at it from two different ways of thinking. And I like to discover, along with my reader, like, honestly, with this book, I swear on a stack of Coke cans, as I say nowadays, because I've been drinking a lot of Coke lately. The ending of this book crept up and swallowed me in the back of the head. And I kind of knew where I wanted them to go. But the vehicle that they went in that direction, I was like, oh my goodness, I never thought. And I woke up in the middle of the night and went, oh, that's what happened. So it's super exciting. And then you, like, me, I grab my iPhone beside the bed and I start talking and like, okay, take a note. And, you know, I try to keep down everything that I've just discovered at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I find it super exciting. And in fact, Melissa, you and I were talking before we started recording about how we have the best of all possible worlds. We just have the most exciting way of living because it's so full of surprises, challenges, yes, but also lots of excitement. And it just keeps you young and happy, keeps your brain fizzling along. It's just a wonderful thing.
It is. It's that creative part where you get to create this fictional world and characters, and anything can happen.
Like anything.
Everything's on the table, right?
That's right. And when something creeps onto the table that you didn't expect, you're just, okay, let's see where we're going to go with that. And that can be a tremendous amount of fun.
Oh, yes. Do you ever have those moments? Like, I tend to get these a lot when I'm driving to and from work because I'll be trying to, like, think through my current story at the time. And this, like, amazing scene comes to mind that I always just, like, look up and go, oh, thank you, Lord, because I would have never come up with that on my own.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And I, because I'm a nerd of the first degree, I feel like I've been nerdy, you know, since before the word nerd came out. I wanted to have some connection between this book and classic literature. In my second book, there's a lot of Shakespeare. And I know, like, some of my readers were like, okay, why the Shakespeare? And I'm like, I don't know. That's just the way my brain, it gets happy. Well, with this book, I was reading Homer's The Iliad and The Odyssey, which are, you know, the stuff that you got assigned in college that you were like, oh, no. But I promise you, reader, I promise you. And there's a new Odyssey movie that's just come out, directed by Christopher Nolan. So I'm totally on trend, although I didn't know I was going to be. So in the book, one of the characters gets a part in a miniseries that's about the Iliad and the Odyssey, about the Helen of Troy story. So I felt like I had to read these books in order to kind of get up to speed. But I didn't plan that. I didn't say, you know what would be really cool? Putting parts of the Odyssey, you know, overlaying that into the story, into the miniseries. I did not wake up one night and say, I love the Odyssey. Let me just jam that in there. No, it just came to me. And then there it was, and it wasn't going away. So I just had to kind of roll over and, okay, we're putting Homer in there. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I love that. I love that you can weave, that you have that passion, and you can weave the classics into a modern story like this. But I wanted to see, because I think, I don't know if we've touched on this before, where we talk about, like, this series is really set in that Jesus movement, correct?
Yes.
The Jesus Revolution. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how do you, like, obviously the Odyssey, like, that totally ties into what's coming out in movie theaters and that. And I call that a God moment because you don't know that that's happening.
Hollywood did not call me and say, hey, would you mind this, you know, giving us a little push here by putting the Odyssey in your book? No, you did not call me.
Totally. But I think your series also kind of reflects our time now. I would love to know your thoughts on that. If you feel like it's almost close to a second Jesus Revolution movement.
I 100%. And again, when I started writing these books, it was 2019 when I got the idea. I was at a college homecoming, like the reunion. And I was talking to some people on campus, and I was on that campus during the original Jesus Revolution. And it was very significant. And I just thought, you know, I wish we would have another revival like that. I remember the joy and the excitement and the passion. People were so passionate about sharing the love of Christ. And so I started writing the first book, All Men Are Liars. And then over the next few years, a second wave started happening of the Jesus movement on campuses. And it was the same sort of groundswell coming up from colleges. And a lot of us saw it in 2022 with the Asbury College revival in the February of 22. And that was enormous. And so a lot of these things just started happening. And I felt like the Lord is maybe stirring up these ideas just to sort of support and give people a recognition that you're part of a bigger picture. This is something, and if we're in for a second great awakening, or if we're in the end times, and this is, look at people. All right, let's just look at the sports world. Just to pick, there are men kneeling and praying on football fields, on soccer pitches, on baseball diamonds. This never has happened before. You never saw NFL players kneeling in, like the entire team kneeling in prayer. You didn't see them praying for somebody that was hurt on the field. That just didn't happen. So the fact that this is happening tells me that I feel like the Lord is rallying his troops and involving young men in particular, which was the hallmark of the Jesus Revolution as well. It wasn't just a sweet bunch of women that, you know, were like, oh, we love the Lord. No, it's these hardcore men in the military, in the sports world, which is tremendously exciting to me. Just huge. So yes, I think it is reflective of this time. And as far as inserting things like the Odyssey and Shakespeare, lest anyone like get worried and say, like, it's going to be too heavy for me. Even if I do say so myself, my books are hilarious and they are extremely funny because I'm weird like that. And when I work in these things, it's not like, oh, she's sneaking some, you know, something healthy into the spaghetti sauce. Like she's putting carrots in the spaghetti sauce. That's not what's happening. It's inherently funny. Trust me, you're gonna like it. And if you happen to find out like a little bit about the Odyssey along the way, well, that's great, but you don't need to know it in order to enjoy it. So it's stay cool.
And I will say, for those of you who haven't read Marlene's books, she is an excellent writer. So when she says she's not just like adding it, it truly weaves in. It is just so well written. So
thank you, Leslie.
You are going to love it for sure. I was going to ask Marlene on your book titles, where do you come up with them? Because I'll be honest, your first book that's titled All Men Are Liars, that can like kind of come across a little like, ooh, right?
Yeah, couldn't it? Couldn't it? Yeah. I get a lot of pushback about that one, particularly not surprisingly from men. And I have to tell you what I tell them. It's in the epigraph. And it says, actually, it's not on that part of the epigraph. Oh, sorry. Well, it's in Psalm 116. It's a scripture. All men are liars. It's in the King James. Now, in the NIV, it will say all humans are liars or all people are liars. But don't you think it has a lot more impact from the KJV? So when I was thinking about a title for this book, the Lord, I was going through some Psalms and I came to Psalm 116 and I got to that line and the Lord said, there's your title. And I was like, oh, no, let's not do that because people are really going to, that's going to kick up a rumpus. And the Lord was like, be that as it may, there's your title. And I was like, okay. So that's where it came from. And as far as Love the One You're With, I listened to a lot of 70s music, and this was a very popular song in the 70s. And it relates perfectly to the plot where the main character has a dilemma. Should she be true to the boy she left in the States, or should she admit to herself what is perfectly obvious to everyone around her that she has tremendous chemistry with an Oxfordian Shakespearean guy who just happens to be an atheist? So this is a very traumatic issue for her because she's a Jesus freak and she loves the Lord with all her heart. She's practically engaged to the guy back in the States. So what's gonna happen? So the one of the characters says to her, well, you know, it's the Doobie Brothers, have it right, love the one you're with. And so that's where that title came from. And as far as Takes One to Know One, I just kept thinking, well, these people are so similar that they're going to recognize in each other that they are heartbreakers and they are flirty and they like to play the field. And when you see someone like that, you recognize, oh, I know you because you're me. So I thought that would be, this is the perfect title for this. And it's kind of a famous saying. Everybody kind of knows it takes one to know one. At least my generation does. I think that maybe yours does too, I hope. So that's where it came from. And I have a great title for book four, but I'm not going
to
tell
you
yet.
Are you ready to share? No. Are you ready to share it or not yet?
Not yet.
That's okay. You can keep that. That'll keep us on the hook. I just think your titles are pretty catchy. Like, at least you're drawing people's attention with the title alone, I think. Yeah. So I was just curious, you know, how did you come up with all of those? But that's pretty neat. And I'll say, I think my generation has used the saying, takes one to know one.
Good.
But I don't know if I picked it up from my parents or not, but I've said it many times myself.
Okay, good.
I just don't hear it very often anymore.
No, it's kind of old fashioned, which is fine because the books are set in the 1970s.
So that's another thing I feel like we always try to like touch base on a little bit here too when I have you on, is there are very few authors writing books that take place in the 70s. So do you have an update? Like, I know at one point you said you were finding some other authors. Are there more out there?
There are a few. I have noticed that the decades are creeping up a little bit. There was a huge, huge amount of writers who were writing World War II stories. That was the big push about 3 years ago. Sarah Sundin started the avalanche, and then everybody just kind of got on board. And now the trend is moving up a decade, and there are more 1950s books now that they're sort of creeping into that. I've seen more than one 1960s based novel. These are novels. And there are, as far as I know, there's one author. Her name is something like Jennifer Carey. I'm sorry, I can't. Jennifer Lynn Carey or something like that. And she has written a whole series that's set in the 70s. Her books are more serious. They're lighthearted, but they have more maybe hard-hitting issues. She'll discuss, you know, people coming back from Vietnam War and things like that, which I don't even touch on those. So, but all of her titles, she has very cute titles. They're based off of popular songs from the 70s. And I think she's got like 15 in the series. They're nice little, you know, they're shorter stories, and she does very well with them. And then Jenaire Trump, who has just brought out a series. She started a series that's based on some forms of mythology. So see, I'm not alone in the Greek myths. And they're close to the 70s. One is set in, I think, 75, but it's a time travel thing. So it kind of hops back and forth between contemporary and I think the 70s, and then maybe ancient mythology, Egypt or something like that. I haven't finished it yet. So there are maybe five authors, including myself, that are writing in the 70s, but there used to be only two. So we are making progress. Here we go. Let's get on board, because a love train is leaving on the tracks right now.
I love it. I love to hear that that's growing. I know there are people that would really love to read books set in the 70s as well, because they can connect. That was their childhood or
yes,
young adult years.
What's interesting too, Melissa, is that when I do events on college campuses, which I do, and I bring my books, the college crowd loves them because there are some things that are universal. And when you're on a college campus and you have your eye on a guy and he's got his eye on someone else, that transcends time. It doesn't matter whether you're wearing bell bottoms or skinny jeans. The same feelings are coursing through your veins, and you're like, oh, I just wish he would notice me. So I have found that teenagers, and particularly young adults, when they read my books, they really identify with the emotions and the conditions that are under which things are happening. Like, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm in an environment that's really hostile. Well, that's nothing new. It's just the fashions and the you know, sort of the music, maybe that changes, the hairstyles change. Although I've seen a lot of 70s style clothes coming back lately with the flares and bell bottoms, so yay. But I have had more than one college kid, I come back the second year and they're like, I loved your book. I'm so glad that you're having another one. So that surprised me. I thought it would be you know, disenfranchised boomers that would love my book. But no, it's actually sort of got bookends. I've got the boomers on this end that lived it and they loved it and they want to revisit it. And I've had boomer readers say to me, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm right there again. I'm remembering how I felt about the Lord. I'm remembering the deep dedication I had to getting out there, my first love. I can feel the vibes. And then younger readers are saying, oh man, I wish I'd lived in the 70s. It was so cool. So it's really neat to see the Lord kind of balancing that out.
Oh yeah. And isn't it so neat to connect with readers that way too? Just to have those conversations.
Oh yeah. It feels sort of like, okay, you're affirmed. Yes, yeah. You are listening. The Lord is having you write these things. This is for real. And then when a writer or a reader says, I just love this. And one of my readers, I have to laugh because she's an ARC reader. That's an advanced reader copy. And she read the third book. She has read the first two as a beta reader. So she is on Team Marlene. I just love this gal. And she opened the book and something in the first chapter, I don't want to spoil anything, but a character reappeared that she did not like. She was angry at that character with the last book. She was like, I'm done with that character. And when that character reappeared again, she slammed the ebook shut. She said, I'm not going to read this. I don't want to see another life be ruined by this person. And then she said, so then I couldn't stand it. And I opened the book and I read it in one day and I loved it. And I was like, that's what I want to hear. I was a little worried there for a minute. She's like, I'm not having it. But she reneged. She went back.
Oh, I had something similar happen with my second book. Uh-huh. I had multiple people.
Oh. Like
the editors and then my first set of readers reach out. And once you get to a certain point, they were very angry.
Oh,
and they were like, I can't believe you did this. And
yeah,
I kept telling them, you just got to keep
going. Keep reading. Keep reading. Right. It's going to be fine. Trust me. It's going to be fine. Yeah. But isn't that good, though, that they are so invested emotionally in your characters that they're feeling for them? They're not just like whipping the pages and, okay, this is a nice way to wild the time. No, they are all in. They are on the team. So that's exciting. I love that. Yeah. I'm so tickled for you too, because it's the best feeling. You're like all of that sweat and work and blood, sweat, and tears, and somebody's getting it. That's so cool.
Yeah. And they're always happy in the end. Always happy they made it to the end.
We promise. It's a happily ever after. We promise. That's what we're in the business of.
Oh yeah, it definitely is. This is romance. So we make sure it's romance in the end.
It's not chick lit where somebody is standing out the window crying at, you know, raising goats or something. It's not one of those endings. It's a happy ending.
No. You also today have a short story coming out, correct, to celebrate our country's 250th birthday?
Yes, yes. I'm super excited about this. It's part of an event that Spark Flash Fiction. If you're not familiar with them, they're a wonderful organization. They have a quarterly e-zine, and it's filled with five-minute romantic stories. They're just many, many authors. It's an anthology, and it's really fun, and I've written for them a couple of times. And they reached out and asked some of their authors, would we cook up a story that is either based on military personnel or based on something involving the 4th of July and Independence Day, like a picnic or a parade or fireworks or something like that. And they asked me and I said, I'm totally on board with that. And it appeared on Instagram on June 25th. And because they gave us permission to put it out in any form that we wanted, because it's only going to live for 24 hours on Instagram. So if you miss it, you miss it. Anyway, I hid mine in the back of my website, and I'm giving Melissa the link to it. And I'll even tell you the title. The title is The Spirit of 76. But in my case, it's The Spirit of 1976, because I always write in the 70s. And it's about the bicentennial, which those of us who were there know it was crazy. America went bananas for the bicentennial. Everything was red, white, and blue, from McDonald's milkshakes to you name it. It was everything was star-spangled everything. So it's a funny story, and it's a 5-minute story. You can read it when you're waiting in line at the grocery store. And I'm going to give the link to Melissa so that everybody can enjoy it.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'll make sure that that link is in the blog post for this episode. But also, while you're over there on Marlene's website, I highly recommend that you sign up for her newsletter so you can just stay up to date on all of the things that she has going on. How often do you send your newsletter out?
I send it out monthly. And if there is some big event going on, or there's something that's like there's a flash sale or something, I may send a little special. But typically it's monthly, and I try to make it land at the beginning of the month just so that you have my newsletter. I can promise you this, reader, I promise you this. There will never be a picture of me and my dog frolicking on a vacation. A, I don't have a dog. And B, I don't think you care about my dog even. Maybe you do, but I'm just not that kind of author. I don't have pictures of my children. I keep it focused on the books because I think that's maybe what you're there for. And I involve a lot of fun 1970s stuff on my, I will put a link obviously to this podcast in my next email. That'll be fun. But my subscribers, there's a big giveaway that's happening in the July subscriber thing. That's for three. And I'll send the link to Melissa since you might miss that with this broadcast. But there's a chance to win all three of the books, paperbacks that are signed. And I'm sending them in a groovy 1970s beach bag. So it's going to be a real 70s experience. And you'll have three if you win. And you can get a bonus. Ooh, I have that right here. How about that? And I didn't even plan on this. See how that works? So in my books, you see this as Team Roland with this red, white, and blue there, and Team Cyril with the Union Jack. And these are little pins. And I'm handing these out with the books because in the first book, we meet a gentleman named Roland Showalter, and he is very all-American guy. And in the second book, we meet a man named Cyril Hawthorne, and he is very British. And so I'm giving everybody a chance to decide which team they are on. Are you Team Roland or are you Team Cyril? Because our heroine has to make a choice at some point. Well, if you want the books, if you want to go for the giveaway, you can get an extra entry if you tell me which team you're on and why you're on that team. And then if you win, you also get your team button. You get the books and your team button, which will be a lot of fun. So that's just my way of connecting my extremely hunky and hot heroes with my readers.
I love it. I love it. So are you then taking that feedback and that's going to decide which one she chooses, or do you already know who she's going to choose?
No. My readers never get to influence my books, I gotta say. I admire authors that do that, but I go down on that. That's a hill I'll die on, is I know that much. I know who she winds up with. And that's already decided, actually, by the third book. We're locked in with that. But I am having a lot of fun this summer. If you're in the Northeast area, actually sort of Western New York area, I'm going around to all the car shows that I can manage this summer, because in my books, there are a couple of vintage cars in each one of the books. I love vintage cars. I don't own one, but I love them. And I made a postcard, which I did not bring. Ugh, I can't believe it. I normally have props galore. But I'll send you the link to that, because I made a postcard, and on the front is the each book's title. And then here's the two cars that are in each book. So there's six cars total. And on the back is a trivia quiz, which is fun, and a little QR code. And when you scan the code, it will take you to the Welcome to the 1970s page on my website, which is full of all kinds of 70s fun. And with your little postcard, you can go out to car shows and see if you can find those cars. And if you find those cars, please let me know, because I want to see. This summer is sort of like a bingo game. I want to see if I can find all of those classic cars at some car show this summer. So I went to one Friday night, the kickoff show here in my little town in Western New York. And by golly, there was a 1965 Galaxy 500 two-door hardtop right in front of my eyes. And I screamed. I was so excited. And two old gentlemen standing next to me said, "I've never heard a woman get that excited about a car before." And they were like, "Why are you so excited?" I said, "Well, I'm glad you asked." And I gave them one of my postcards and I said, "Would you be on the lookout for these?" And they said, "Why don't you put your name on that and stick it in the car and let the guy know," because the owner wasn't around, let the owner know that you're excited about this car. And I'm like, "That's a great idea." So I did. I slid that right in there. So we'll see. We'll see if he feels like. So there's another in the fourth book. There's two more cars will show up. I'm not sure what they are yet. I have a feeling one of them might be a VW, but I don't know yet.
Very cool. That sounds like you are going to have a very fun summer here.
So much fun, right? And with every book, and if you buy the books and you don't, like you don't buy them in person, but you go to Amazon, if you want, and this is in the back of the books in the author notes, if you want the recipe cards that are attached to that, each book has one or two recipe cards that are mentioned in the book. There's some scones or, you know, a dessert of some type, and the actual physical recipe card, I'll either send you the e-file for it, or I'll send you the actual card with real envelopes and real stamps and everything. And if you want the Car Stars postcard, which is the one I'm handing out at Classics, you just let me know and send me an email, and I'll have Melissa put my email in the notes. And send me an email with your address. And just like in the old times when they said, "All right, kids, send your cereal box top to this number, P.O. box, whatever, and you'll get your little, whatever, underwater submarine for the tub." You won't get a submarine, but you will get the postcard so that you can share in the fun.
Oh, that does sound like a blast. So be sure, I will have all that information for you guys in the blog post. So be sure to visit that so you can reach out to Marlene. Yeah. And enjoy this game over the summer. Sounds like a blast.
It's, you know, what's fun is two of the questions have to do with classic cars. And the minute that anybody that loves old cars or has watched any 1970s TV shows, there's some TV trivia in there too. Everybody starts arguing. "No, that wasn't blah, blah. No, that was, you know," so they get all excited. On my Instagram feed, I'm playing some other games in addition to find this car at your local car show. One of the characters, Helene, her nickname is Lean, L-E-N-E. And as I mentioned before, she's developed a lot of rules in her life to keep her life straight. She needs to know what's going to happen. And I call them Lean's Laws. So they are appearing on Instagram and you will find her laws changing every week. There's a picture of a beautiful young girl in her Madras halter top and her cutoffs kneeling on the beach at Malibu, and she's writing her rules in the sand. And so you can keep track of her rules. I think I put 10 of them out there. Like, it'll come out maybe every Tuesdays and Thursdays. You'll see that. So you can see the laws, and then you can read the book and see if she manages to keep her own laws as she goes through these relationships.
Oh my goodness. That sounds like a blast. So we need to get on your newsletter list, but we also need to be following you on Instagram.
Please, yes. They'll also be on Facebook, and Instagram I know is like a flowing stream, right? You see something and then you never see it again. So I would recommend that if you want to keep up with Lean's Laws and the Car Stars, then just go over to my actual profile and you'll see all those there. Plus, this is the most fun. Honestly, I had more fun putting this campaign together than, you know, a barrel of monkeys. I love 70s music and I have some Spotify lists that apply to, they're curated for the books. There are also some Spotify lists that are curated to the types of superstar divas that were available in that time. If you come to my website, you'll take the personality quiz. It will tell you which diva you're most like. And are you a dynamic diva? Are you a natural woman? Are you a spirited sweetheart? There's four different types. And then based on your answers, you will be given a little link to a Spotify playlist that has that type of music. So because I love that so much, I made up a radio station. It's not a real radio station. I wish it were. It's called California Sunshine. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday around 7 o'clock, I post the first 12 seconds of a famous 70s hit on Instagram. And you have to guess the name. It's a name that tune game. And you have to guess the name of the artists or the singer or the band and the name of the tune. Now, granted, on Instagram, they have a little trailer that comes to the bottom and it tells you who it is and what they're singing. Don't cheat. Don't peek. Just put your hand over that so you can't read it. But I have had, there's one particular couple that I feel like they're just waiting to pounce on it because they're the first people that answer it. And she says, oh, my husband knew this one right away. And so that's a lot of fun because you hear that guitar riff or the piano and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I know that one. I know that one. So that's a game that I'm going to be playing right through the summer on Instagram too.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So we definitely need to get on and be following you for sure. So we can join in on this fun.
Summer 70s fun. I'm telling you, it's so cool. It feels like the kind of thing that you used to do. Well, I used to do when you're sitting there in around the pool or at night on the lounge chair and you're out in your backyard and you're just listening to the AM radio and you're hearing all of these classic songs. And then the DJ comes along and he says, and here's a big hit for the whatever, the Eagles or something. And then you hear the first few notes and you're like, oh, I know this one. I love this one. And back in the day, we used to run to get we had our tape recorders right there ready. And the minute it would start, we'd hit record and then we would have a copy of it. Oh, there were no CDs. You either had the album or you had the A track, but you couldn't just play it 8 million times, like unless you had the album. And it was so exciting. So it's kind of that vibe of just good, clean fun. Just knowing your 70s songs and just trying to outguess whoever happens to be in the house with you.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Marlene, for hopping on and for putting all these fun things together for people to enjoy over the summer.
Oh, it's my pleasure because I really believe this is why I write rom-coms as opposed to more serious work, because there are so many great, very serious, very thought-provoking, tear-jerking books out there that just rip your heart out. And maybe you're sitting in a doctor's office, or maybe you're sitting in the car and you've just had a really hard day, and you just want to get home and unwind, and you just want something to make you laugh and to lift your heart. And the scripture says that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And so I feel like my little rom-coms are there to give you a lift and give you a laugh and just sort of take your mind off of some worrisome things. At the same time, recognizing the beauty of what God has put into his word, since they're scripture soaked, and understanding that God can take any situation that you're in and flip it for the good. We call that the providential plot twist, right? All of a sudden something goes and you're like, how could this happen, Lord? And Lord is like, just wait. You're going to love what we do with this. So that's what my books are about. It's just like something unexpected happens and it makes you laugh because you recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, if you haven't already, this is book 3 coming out, so you can start on book 1 and just binge your way through over the summer. Yes. And that's exciting. So make sure you head over to Marlene's website, connect with her through her newsletter, then catch her on Facebook or Instagram, and then also head over to Amazon and make sure you get your copy of Takes One to Know One today.
Yes, please. And Marlene is spelled Marline, and that's an unusual spelling. And it came about because I had two grandmothers, Martha and Pauline. So they took the Mar from Martha and the Lean from Pauline and smushed it together and made my middle name, which was Marlene, which I use as my first name on my authoring books. So Marlene is M-A-R-L-I-N-E. So if you're looking for M-A-R-L-E-N-E, you might be doing a little fishing for a while, but you'll get there eventually. And please, if you read the books and if you like it, please leave a review on Amazon or Goodreads, because as Melissa knows well, those reviews are what help other readers find quality, uplifting, edifying Christian literature. And that's what we're all about.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And again, I'll put all those links in the blog post for this episode for you too, so you make sure you get to the right spot as well, so you can find them there as well.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Marlene, for being on. It was so good to catch up with you.
Oh, it's always so good to, and Melissa, I hope everybody recognizes the effort that people like Melissa put into these things. Congratulations, you said you were up to 200, 500, how many podcasts have you had now? I think it's, were you up over 200 now?
We're just over 200.
There you go. Yeah. And that is a lot of work. And it's so wonderful to get the word out about other authors so that you have more fun to pick from. And I love, Melissa always has an upbeat attitude and she's always so encouraging. And folks, not everybody's like that. So I really appreciate my dear friend, Melissa. And so please read her books too.
Well, thank you so much, Marlene.
It's my pleasure. Have a wonderful summer.
Yes, and you as well. And everyone else who's listening, please enjoy your summer and join in on Marlene's games, because I think we're going to have a blast there.
Yes, please come. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.